It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're going to continue with our news and notes. Let's circle back. It's interesting, Dustin. We were talking off air about this. This last defensive back that they recruited, Jeffrey Davis out of Connecticut, that marks, I believe, what is that, the fourth or fifth recruit for the defensive backfield. And you were talking about you're seeing a kind of a common thread among these players.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just the cornerback depth chart, I think, is in tremendous shape now and into the future. I like both of the cornerbacks that they've got on board so far in 2021. But you've also got a couple really good redshirt freshmen that they like, and Daquan Hardy, Joey Porter Jr. on the board already, kind of scratching and clawing for position on the depth chart. Joseph Johnson III is already there as a true freshman from the 2020 class. Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson are both sophomore eligibility. So you look at the wave of young talent, and it seems like, in my eyes, it's just getting better and better. And with the comment that I made just in terms of the trend, I think, is that you look at Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson. These are guys who were pretty, you know, I don't know whether elite's the right word in the grand scheme of recruiting, but very, very good with the ball in the air. They can defend. They can mirror wide receivers. They can backpedal. They can press. They can play zone and all that stuff. But when the ball is in the air, there's a certain breed of cornerback that is better than another at actually making a play, an aggressive play on treating themselves like they're, you know, being offensive. They're attacking the ball. They're trying to compete for the interception just as much as the wide receivers competing for the catch. And I think, you know, for me, Keaton Ellis, Marquise Wilson, Kalen King, and Jeffrey Davis Jr., I think you're getting more and more guys who are having that attacking mentality with the ball in the air. And it's something that in the early stages of James Franklin's tenure, we didn't see too much of that. Whether that's safeties or cornerbacks, we didn't see a lot of attacking the ball, that mentality. They certainly did well recruiting those positions, but I feel like this marks a little bit of a shift, whether that's intentional or not. They're getting more guys that are making plays on the ball, and I think that's a really good thing for these young cornerbacks. And there's a lot of really good ones on the depth chart and coming in, and they'll be arriving on the depth chart soon. I think that cornerbacks that spot is in really, really good shape.
I think so too, Dustin. Especially the point that sticks out to me is when you had players last year as true freshmen like Keaton Ellis playing, you know, real time, and also Wilson, they were out there as true freshmen, not just playing, but playing important minutes. That tells you, you know, the nice future that they have. Add in these players that they've brought in the last week and a half, and they should be in pretty good shape for the next several years at that position. All right, Dustin, last week, it's you talked earlier about Penn State handling things well, handling how they did the virtual blue-white thing. They also put out they've been putting out the coaches for press conferences, not to mention that James Franklin with his coaches show last week. What were your takeaways there?
So, yeah, I'll work down through just my takeaways from the several appearances. And James Franklin on Saturday, as part of this whole, you know, virtual tailgate, make a day out of it with Penn State football, appeared on his coach's show. I didn't really think anything jumped out in terms of being earth shattering. But again, I think the way that he and others are going about giving praise to Kirk Ciarrocca, the new offensive coordinator, they all kind of say the same thing, that this is a guy who is innovative and he knows exactly what his vision is and connects with that vision. I feel like that has been his strength all along. It was his strength at Minnesota. It's going to be his strength here at Penn State as well. Is not necessarily acting like he's the smartest guy in the room. And I think James Franklin made a comment to that, said he doesn't act like a know-it-all, because when you do in these meeting settings, you can start losing guys quick, whether that's players or coaches, whoever. So he seems to strike the right balance between knowing exactly what he wants to accomplish, but also being receptive and not acting like he's got all the answers. And I think, you know, I feel like that was a strength of Joe Moorhead's as well, is that being receptive, but also being really, really smart and on point with what the offense, what you want the offense to do. I know we haven't seen much, and it's been a unique setting for Kirk Ciarrocca to get up and running as the coordinator and work with players. But I think all this stuff that people are saying, just reading in between the lines, it seems like his personality is a very good fit for this staff.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you heard his Kirk Ciarrocca's press conference, as opposed to the other coaches. As you said, their comments about him have been very consistent. But one comment that Ciarrocca made himself that stood out to me was he talked in terms of his quarterback room meetings, and I'm using air quotes for quarterback room, his quarterback Zoom meeting, I guess. And he talked about it not being a lecture. It was a dialogue. It was interactive with the quarterbacks, with his players. And that was good to see, because that's a better learning environment, especially when you're in the circumstances you are now, where you can't be on the field with the players. You can't be directly with them face to face. So I'm very anxious, as I'm sure a lot of Penn State fans are, to see what his offense looks like. As I said, besides James Franklin, there's been he's had several of the other coaches out for press conferences, which is really nice, because you don't always hear from the assistants very often. We talked a bit about them last week. How about you, Dustin? What stood out to you with any of the assistants?
Well, it's a circle back on the Ciarrocca thing, just on the point that you made. I think quarterbacks and offensive coordinator, quarterback needs to be able to take ownership of the information, to connect to the core mission of what the offense is trying to do, and connect with it in a deeper way other than being preached and being shown the terminology. So I think that's a big deal. Jaywon Sider, I'm sure you guys covered this last week, but for me, you know, obviously the confidence in Journey Brown, you know, him suggesting that he's playing as fast as his track time suggests, you know, and that being a turning point that happened really in the middle, the late portion of last season. I think there's a good chance he's due for a monster year. There's a good chance that, and I think we've discussed this possibility of him leaving eligibility on the table to leave for the NFL draft. I think that's the conversation we're about to start having. Noah King, obviously, he's a pretty known commodity for being a true sophomore. Devin Ford was, you know, Jaywon Sider cautioned to not sleep on him. You know, he'll be number three on the depth chart. But what does that really mean? You know, I'm curious to see how that unfolds. I'm also curious to see how deliberate are Jaywon Sider's words when it comes to Devin Ford and wanting to keep him involved. But we've had this discussion as well where, you know, we're big believers in the talent of Devin Ford. Obviously, Penn State is too, or else they wouldn't have committed to burning his red shirt last year. I think he's the real deal as a number three, and there's all kinds of circumstances that would get him. Maybe he's a co-number two when it comes to workload with Noah Kane. I don't think him being number three on the depth chart necessarily precludes him from making a big impact this year. So that, I think all those things stood out to me from Jaywon Sider. Terry Smith, you know, we talked about the cornerbacks a good deal, really had a lot of good things to say about Joey Porter Jr., kind of made the case, stated publicly what they need from Tariq Kaster Fields is to be a lockdown corner. You know, whether he is or isn't ready for that, you know, we learned that he had some injury stuff in the second half of last year. Maybe that affected him, but he does need to be a lockdown corner. Joey Porter Jr. is in a fight for playing time. I also like what Terry Smith had to say just about how busy recruiting has been. And he kind of gave a ballpark figure about, you know, in the high teens in the 2021 class of the number of commitments they're going to take. So all that stuff stood out to me. I don't know what stood out to you.
Well, you hit a lot of the highlights. And as a member of the Devin Ford fan club, as I am, you know, I hung on every word that Kirk Ciarrocca had to say about him. And first of all, I think last year They tried to keep four running backs happy. That's tough to do. But three running backs, I think you conceivably can get enough work for three of them. And I don't want to overreact to it, but I thought it was real interesting when Kirk Shiroka said, gee, Devin Ford creates matchup problems against linebackers. And I'm wondering if that's a little bit of a hint as how they might use him, and might it be catching the ball out of the backfield. So, you know, like I said, I don't want to make too big a deal out of that. But like I said, I'm a big Devin Ford fan, so I want to see more of him. It doesn't mean I don't like Noah Kane, Journey Brown. I want to see all three of them play. I'm the one now, even though our buddy Andy Shea shot me down on this idea, I'd like to see two backs on the field at the same time. So we'll see about that. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but that's what I'm hoping for. Dustin, one more topic I want to hit, because it, you know, this is the elephant in the room, is there going to be football? Are there going to be crowds in the stands? Is there going to be football in the fall versus the spring? I think the latest information, and again, nobody knows the answer, so we're not going to pretend we know the answer, but it's interesting to see what people are saying. One of the recent newsmakers was the Northwestern athletic director, who came out, and he used words like, it would be inappropriate to play without fans. And it got me to think that essentially what it's coming down to in their decision to play in the fall is, number one, are the students going to be back in school? And two, would they be allowed to have fans in the stands? And those are the primary parameters. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a complicated dialogue, and we talked about just kind of bringing the most recent comments forward. It doesn't sound like games without fans are going to happen for a variety of reasons. I'm sure there's a revenue component to it too, but just in terms of doing the safe, healthy thing, you're not going to subject football players to something that you're not going to subject fans to, and that's the large gatherings of locker rooms and that stuff. So I think they're going to – I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know whether a spring season, because that has its pitfalls too, like the transition from 2020 to 2021. So there's a lot to be hashed out about this, but I think playing games without fans is not going to happen. So yeah, we'll see about that. We'll keep you up to date on the Keystone Kickoff Show with all the recent comments. For now, we'll move on. We'll talk about the depth chart in just a moment.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.